is a blotter.
Something you look for while the ink dries.
Correct. Pay that man $8. How do you make money fast?
Glue it to the floor.
Correct. Pay that man $9 because...
It pays to be ignorant.
The zaniest of quiz shows, rebroadcast for the American Armed Forces and their allies, and featuring Lula McConnell, Harry McNaughton, George Shelton, and the man who knows it pays to be ignorant, Tom Howard.
Thank you, Johnny, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, here we are again with that underprivileged, undernourished, and underslung quiz program. It pays to be ignorant. We have a board of experts who are so dumb, they think a pigsty is something a pig wears around his neck. First, we have the celebrated author, Mr. High McNaughton, who has just written a book entitled The Beekeeper's Guide, or What to Do for the Hives, with itchings by James Montgomery Flagg. But here he is, Mr. Harry McNaughton.
Thank you. I have a poem, Mr. Howard.
I imagine.
I have a poem. Yes. Christmas comes with snow and sleet throughout the night whilst kiddies sleep. Next morning, rain comes with a rush. Put on your rubbers, kids. Oh, slush.
Okay.
Very moist.
Okay. Be careful of your language, Mr. McNaughton. There's sailors in the house. Next, we have a woman who, when she crosses the railroad track, the train stops, look, and listen. A woman with such a loud voice, every time she opens her mouth, the shipyards knock off for lunch. Here she is, all made up, with no face to go, Miss Lola McConnell.
You know, Mr. Howard, we bought a live turkey this year.
Oh, you did?
And last night, my old man went out with an axe to kill it.
Oh, he did.
Boy, was that turkey tough.
Is that so?
A tough turkey, eh?
Was he? He took the axe away from my old man 3 times.
Oh, boy. All right, let's get on here. Next, we have a man who was 4 years old before they discovered he had a forehead. A man so ugly, his mother had to buy him back from the dog catchers 3 times. Here he is, the drip from Frenchman's Creek, Mr. George Shelton.
Hey, you know, Mr. Howard, I don't think I'll be able to answer any questions tonight.
That's swell.
I don't feel so well.
Good. You don't, Mr. Shelton?
No.
Well, why? Why don't you take something?
Why, I did. I took 2 aspirins and a pinch of insect powder.
Well, wait a minute. 2 aspirins and a pinch of insect powder?
Yeah, I got a lousy headache.
You got a lousy headache. There they are, folks. This would be as good a time as any to tune into another station before you all get a headache. Here is the first question. Now, pay attention. It's a topical one.
Oh, I love topical questions.
I see.
Yes, I spent 3 years in the topics.
Wait a minute, please. You mean tropics. I said topics. Now, here's the question.
Yes.
Can you tell me the man's name the children all look for on Christmas Eve?
What's his name, Mr. Howard?
I just asked you that, please.
Oh, you don't know either, huh?
Oh, certainly I know. Miss McConnell, who comes around your house when the children are all asleep?
The milkman.
The milkman.
Boy, is he cute.
All right.
Ain't I a riot?
Yeah, you're more than that, yeah. Mr. McNaughton, have you any children, Mr. McNaughton?
Oh, rather, yes, Mr. Howard. I have 3 boys and 3 girls.
Uh-huh.
Or is it 3 girls and 3 boys? No, I think it's 3 girls and 3 boys.
There's 6 children all together?
No, 1 at a time.
All right, please. Who is it that comes round to the house on Christmas Eve with a load?
My old man.
Wait a minute, please. He comes down the chimney.
Oh, so that's how he's getting in now.
I see.
Dirty bum.
Never mind, please.
Mr. Howard, you know, it's 3 boys and 3 girls.
I don't care. Look, on Christmas Eve, what's the man's name who the children wait for? They talk about him weeks before. His first name is the same as the Santa Fe Railroad.
Oh, Santa Fe.
Santa Fe.
Is he any relation to Alice Fay, Mr. Howard?
I see. Mr. McNaughton, why don't you declare your head an open city? Why don't you do that? Look, children hang up their stockings on Christmas Eve. This person fills them.
Did you ever hang up your stockings, Miss McConnell?
Oh, sure. I hung up my stocking last Christmas.
Yeah? What'd you get in it?
A barrel of Pillsbury flour.
So that's why I couldn't get my feet in it.
All right, never mind.
I was wrong, Mr. Howard. Yes, it was 3 girls and 3 boys.
Will you cut it out, please? Who cares? Look, let's get on with the question. As I said before, the man's first name is Santa. His last name is... Look, what do we find on cat's feet
Well, that all depends on where the cat has been walking.
Wait a minute. Only one of them tonight. What's the matter? Here with the next question. Now, here it is. Are you paying attention?
Yes. Go ahead, Mr. Howard. I'm all ears.
That's an understatement if I ever heard one. The question is, here it is. Now, try and get it. The question is, what kind of beverage is made from the coffee bean?
I don't like the question, you know. There are no grounds for a question like that.
No grounds. Now, don't start with those puns. The question is about coffee.
That's what I have for breakfast every morning. Yeah. Puns and coffee.
Puns and coffee. Miss McConnell, if I had a glove, I'd slap your face. If you had a face, sir.
Love that man.
Look, all right, please.
Say, you know, I love a good cup of coffee with my dinner.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and I had a swell dinner tonight.
Oh, ditto, Mr. Shelton, ditto.
Yeah, I had... What?
I said ditto. You said you had a good dinner. I said ditto, you see? Means the same thing.
You mean you had the same thing for dinner I did?
No. Wait a minute, Mr. McNaughton said ditto. Don't you know what ditto is?
No, I don't think I ever ate any of that. No.
It's an Italian dish.
It's not a dish. Ditto is nothing.
Oh, you mean you had nothing for dinner? What's the matter? You on a diet or something?
Look, let me explain.
Yeah.
Now, I asked you to have a drink.
When did you ever ask me to have a drink? That's not ditto. That's a miracle.
Now, wait a minute. Look, we're in a restaurant, and I tell a waiter to bring me a cup of coffee. Yeah. Then the waiter says to you, what are you going to have? And you say ditto.
Who says ditto? Why should I order something that I don't know nothing about?
Ah, please.
Shelton, old boy, you don't drink ditto.
Then why do I order it if I don't drink it?
Look, ditto is not a drink.
Well, what is it?
It's nothing.
Nothing. So you order a cup of coffee and I get nothing.
Mr. Shelton, you don't understand, old boy. If Mr. Howard orders a cup of coffee and you say ditto, do you see?
Yeah.
The waiter brings you a cup of coffee. Do you see? It means the same.
Then if I go into a place and say ditto, the waiter brings me a cup of coffee?
No. He wouldn't bring you the cup of coffee unless I went in the place with you and ordered the cup of coffee first.
You mean if I want a cup of coffee, I've got to take you in the place with me? Suppose I can't find you. Suppose you're not around. You mean I've got to look all over the town before I can get a cup of coffee, huh?
Wait a minute. Let me try it another way.
Yeah, the first way wasn't any good.
I see. Look, please.
Mr. Shelton, look, let me explain it over.
Go ahead, Mr. McNaughton.
Now,
Pleasure.
Yeah.
Mr. Sheldon.
Yeah?
You're going to Atlantic City.
Who's going to Atlantic City?
I'm just saying that to explain what ditto means.
Why do we have to go to Atlantic City to find out what ditto means?
I didn't say that.
You. Well, why should I go to Atlantic City?
Why does anybody go to Atlantic City?
How should I know? I don't go around asking people why they go to Atlantic City. It's none of my business.
Miss McConnell, why don't you keep quiet?
I haven't said a word.
Well, you might.
I don't like Atlantic City. Why can't we go to Detroit?
What's the difference?
You mean you don't know the difference between Atlantic City and Detroit?
Why do we have to make it Detroit?
I got relatives there.
I see.
All right, fine. We'll make it Detroit.
Good, good.
Now, we go down to the station, and I say to the ticket man, give me a ticket to Detroit,
yeah.
You see? And the man says to you, where are you going? And you say, ditto.
I say, ditto?
Yeah.
I thought I was going to Detroit.
You sap, and ditto is Detroit.
Ditto is Detroit?
Yeah.
Who changed that?
Thank you. And now, while Mr. Roberts is lining up our contestants, here is Dr. Novick and his orchestra, whose members are so dumb they think grace notes are letters from Dane. The ushers will pass out cotton for your ears while Dr. Novick is playing. Dr. Novick. This is his first appearance in public, ladies and gentlemen. Oh. He bought that trombone at the pawn shop on 8th He broke. Well, I'll just simply have to get another orchestra or else buy a jukebox someplace. That was terrible. Who is our first contestant tonight, Mr. Roberts?
Well, our first contestant tonight, Mr. Howard, is Sergeant Bob Miller of the United States Marines.
Well, Bob. Good evening, Sergeant Miller, and welcome to our program. I might say we're mighty glad. Boy, you are some hunk of Marine, I must say that. Yes, sir, you're great. You've got some ribbons there, too, haven't you, Sergeant?
Yeah, I got a few.
You've seen some action, I believe.
A little.
A little. Don't be modest. Where's your hometown, would you care to tell us?
Perth Amboy, New Jersey.
Perth Amboy, New Jersey. Perth down Amboy, in Perth Amboy. Great for Perth Amboy.
Fanboy, New Jersey.
Yes.
Vitamins in my face and call me Flint High.
Oh, I
boy, I used to work in that town.
Your
guy.
Voice has changed.
Yeah, I was a barber in a cocktail bar.
You were a barber in a cocktail bar?
Yeah, I used to shave the ice.
Pay no attention to him, Bob. That's right, isn't it, Bob?
That's
you don't
right.
mind me calling you Bob.
No,
you?
Go ahead.
Well, I'm glad to call you Bob.
I used to Bob the ice,
it's
too.
More, oh, never mind. How long have you been in the service, Bob?
Not quite 3 years.
Not quite 3 years. Well, congratulations.
Bob, I served under Colonel Bob Andrews in the last war. I was an aviator.
You was an aviator?
Yes. I flew a Burlington Zephyr.
You flew... Wait a minute. A Burlington Zephyr? That's a railroad train.
Oh, no wonder I couldn't get it off the ground.
I see. Say no special to the Bob. Bob, what did you do before you went into service? You worked in Perth Amboy?
Yeah, I worked in Amboy and DuPont.
And DuPont's in Perth Amboy. Oh, yes, right. I know where that is well. I'm very, very glad to have you with us, and it was sure nice for you to come up here.
Yeah, what's your first name, honey?
You heard it. It's Bob.
Bob.
Oh, Bob.
Bob. That's right. Tell it to her, Bob.
That's a cute name, Bob.
Yes.
He's a swell guy, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Oh,
all right.
Well, you can just call me Liberty Bell.
Yeah.
I'm famous.
Yeah, and you're half cracked, too. You can help us a lot if you will. Will you kindly reach into the dunce cap there and pick out a question for us, too? And would you be kind enough to read the question when you get a hold of one? Now, just read it right into the microphone. Take your time.
Who wrote Dickens' Christmas Carol?
That, no help from the audience, please. That's a very good question, Bob. Did you hear it, experts? Who wrote Dickens' Christmas Carol?
I wrote a carol once.
You did?
Yeah, but she wouldn't never answer me.
She never answered me. All right. Do you know anything about Dickens, Miss McConnell?
I ought to. My old man gave it to me last night.
Very, very cute. Miss McConnell, were you by any chance the inspiration of that song, Why Was I Born?
I've often wondered about that.
Wondered about what?
Why you were born.
Thank you. Thank you. The question is, who wrote Dickens' Christmas Carol? We always hear it at this time of year. Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without it.
It wouldn't? What would it be, Mr. Howard, the 4th of July?
Please. Don't twist the question. Who wrote Dickens' Christmas Carol?
Oliver Twist.
Oliver Twist. No.
No?
Oliver Twist did not write the Christmas Carol, but the same man wrote Oliver Twist. Now, who wrote Oliver Twist?
What became of the other question?
Oh, it is terrible.
Why don't you wait till we answer one before you spring another one on us?
Yeah, why don't you give us time to consecrate?
Consecrate?
Yeah.
You're a Harvard man, aren't you?
Yale.
Yeah, I see. Look, the same answer would do for both questions. Now, who wrote Dickens' Christmas Carol?
Say, speaking about Christmas, have you done much Christmas shopping, Miss McConnell?
I've been shopping so much I'm worn out.
I see. You look shop-worn.
Oh. Mr. Sheldon, tell me, what did you get your girl for Christmas?
Oh, I got her a bridge lamp.
A bridge lamp?
Yeah, but the cop made me put it back on the bridge again. Oh.
I was going to buy my old man a bridge lamp, but he can't read.
Why didn't you get him one without a bulb?
That's a good idea, Mr. McNaughton.
I'll never forget last Christmas. My old man bought me a washing machine.
Oh, that's nice. What is he going to give you this Christmas?
His laundry.
I see. Look, can we please get back to the question?
You know, I bought my landlady a nice Christmas gift. Yeah. I bought her a thermometer for Christmas.
A thermometer?
Yeah, but I have to take it back.
You do?
What's the matter with it?
Oh, it don't work. It don't work right. One day it says 46, the next day 58, the next day 60. You can't depend on the darn thing.
I probably need some little adjustment, you know?
Yeah.
Little wheel needs fixing.
Yeah, it's out of adjustment.
Yes.
So is your head out of adjustment. Why don't you bat it against the wall and let the termites out of it here? Look, haven't any of you ever heard Dickens' Christmas Carol over the radio at Christmas time?
Well, wait a minute. There's a light dawning.
There's a what?
A light dawning.
Oh, yeah, I see. Yeah. You're commencing to get
my brain is starting to function.
Isn't that marvelous? It does that once a year,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Around Christmas. Say, Mr. Howard, what you just said, is that the story about an old miser named Scrooge?
Scrooge, yes, yeah. Scrooge.
Is he the one that doesn't believe in Christmas until he's visited by a couple of ghosts?
That's right.
And change him into a kind, generous man?
Why, that's marvelous. Who? Now, tell me, who wrote it?
I got it.
Good.
Lionel Barrymore.
Oh, cut it out, Lionel Barrymore. Johnny, give our good guest here $25 for his question.
August.
I like that. Let me sit down a minute. A stone got in my shoe. Don't commence your cussing. I ain't done nothing to you. Yes, I'm a blacksmith, Captain. What are you? And a good one, too. Me and my wife and Nelly was just in tea. She was the prettiest creature the valley had ever seen. One day a tall, tall stranger, young, handsome, and tall. Oh. How did the ducks get into this thing? Down in chopsticks, that's where they start. That's terrible. Now, have we another guest for this evening, Mr. Roberts?
Yes, we have, Mr. Howard, and a very lovely and charming young lady she is, too. She is leading airwoman Jeannie Newby of the Royal Canadian Air Force from Vancouver, British Columbia.
Wow! How do you do? This is indeed a pleasure. What did you say the name was? Miss Canooby, did you say?
Newby.
Oh, Miss Newby. I was just putting another syllable on it. That's me all over. Well, we're very glad to have you, Miss Newby. It certainly is a pleasure. All the way from Vancouver. And welcome to our program. How do you feel, Miss Newby?
Oh, very well, thank you.
Well, you certainly do look it. And we're glad. Where did you say your home? Vancouver.
Yeah.
Vancouver. Up near, anywhere's near Edmonton, somewhere?
Well, yes.
Right near Edmonton.
As a matter of fact, in between.
In between. That's a great place up there. That's a great country. Been up there hunting many of time. Yeah, I never got it.
The police were hunting you up there.
All right, never mind. So you're from Edmonton. I hope the folks up there are near in between, as you say. I hope they're listening in tonight. I imagine they'll get a thrill on hearing your voice.
So too.
Yeah, I know our program gets up that way. Do you think they'd be
yes,
listening?
Yes, it does.
You do?
Very likely.
Pardon?
Very likely.
Well, I hope they are. We're very, very glad to have you with us.
Lovely girl, you know, Mr. Howard.
Yeah, she is.
I'd go to the end of the world for a girl like her. You know?
You would. Yeah. But would you stay there? Would you stay there?
I would if I could get an apartment.
I see. Okay. What did you do before you went into service, Miss Newby?
Well, I worked a bit and went to school mostly.
Yes, but when you did work, what position?
Well, I worked in the bank.
Oh, you worked in the bank up there. Isn't that marvelous?
That's nice work when you can get it.
Yes, yes.
That's why they were hunting him up there that time.
Yes, did you ever get any samples?
Never mind the samples. Please, Mr. McNaughton.
Boy, she's a nice girl. You know, Mr. Howard, I was out with a nice girl last night, too.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. Yeah, she was a G.I. girl.
A G.I. girl?
Yeah. I wasn't out with her 20 minutes before she says, gee, I'm thirsty, gee, I'm hungry. Before the night was over, G.I. was broke.
All right, please.
You know, Sir Howard, you can never tell how a girl will turn out until her parents turn in.
Very, very, Very subtle, Mr. McNaughton.
Oh, but I get along all right with the girls, though.
Yeah?
Yes, I got a system.
You got a system?
Yes, sir.
But it's all run down.
Yeah.
Pay no attention to Miss Newby. It's getting near their feeding time. Usually at this time, we throw each of them a fish. May I ask you, Miss Newby, how long you been in the service?
Oh, pretty nearly 3 years.
2 years?
3 years.
3 years. Congratulations. And Mr. Roberts says you're a first airwoman?
A leading airwoman.
Oh, a leading airwoman. Well, that contradicts me. First and leading, I didn't know the difference. Are you married?
No, not yet.
Oh, you're not married.
Oh, wow.
Well, tell me something.
What is the fare of
it? Never mind. What's the fare of it? How long have you been in New York, Miss Newby?
Oh, I just got in this morning.
Oh, you just got in this morning. Mm-hmm. You haven't been around much.
No.
You met any boys in New York?
Well, I've been doing my best.
You have? Well, if you've met any, how do you find the boys here in comparison with the boys up in Vancouver?
Well, they're just about the same, just swell.
Oh, just swell. I suppose they all have those wolfish tactics.
Instincts.
Instincts, I see. Well, we're mighty glad... Never mind, you got the orchestra held up there. We're very glad to have you with us, I'm sure. Will you do us a favor at this point? Would you kindly pick a question from the dunce cap for us there? And would you be kind enough to read the question for us, please?
How many days does an eight-day clock run?
Thank you. Very good. How many days does an eight-day clock run? Did you hear the question, Mr. Sheldon?
Certainly I heard it. I got ears.
I know you got ears, but have you got anything between them? Do you know anything about clocks, Mr. McNaught?
Clocks, or rather, yes. We have the cutest potato clock at our house.
Well, maybe you have a potato clock.
Every morning it wakes us up, potato clock.
A potato clock. Oh. Isn't that cute?
I'm very naughty tonight.
Yeah. Too bad it didn't break.
Oh, I love those.
The question is, how many days does an eight-day clock run without winding?
It won't run at all without winding. Anybody knows that.
Very, very funny, Mr. Sheldon.
Hey, you know, Mr. Howard, my brother-in-law got arrested for stealing a clock.
He did? What happened to him?
The judge gave him the works.
The judge gave him the works.
That must have been very, very hard to face.
Listen, that was fun. Yes,
he couldn't do a thing about it, though. His hands were tied.
Ah, please, will you cut it out?
Yeah, they should get a good lawyer on the case.
Yes, that's very good.
Yeah, he should be able to spring him.
Oh,
wait, I am riot.
Oh, you're a scream. You certainly are. Will you cut it out? We have a question here. How many days? Now, pay attention. Does an eight-day clock run? Now, let's try and get it. Mr. Sheldon, do you have any clocks around your house?
Oh, certainly we have. Certainly we have. We got a clock, but we keep it upstairs.
You mean you have to run upstairs every time you want to find out the time?
No, the clock runs down.
The clock runs down.
Oh, ain't I a riot?
Yeah, you're a riot, too. You're all a riot.
Mr. Sheldon, how can you tell the time if the clock runs down?
We have a winding staircase.
Oh, that's right. Johnny, let's get out of here.
It Pays to Be Ignorant, starring Tom Howard, Harry McNaughton, George Shelton, and Lulu McConnell, with another guest expert and Nat Novick's Rhythm Butchers, will be back to pester you again next week. Robert saying, so long for the Armed Forces Radio Service.